نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. O Allah, we ask you to increase us in knowledge, to make us benefit from that which you teach us, and to increase us in knowledge. Ameen. O Allah, we seek your protection from knowledge that does not benefit, and a heart that does not humble itself, and from a soul that is not satiated, satisfied, and from a prayer that is not answered. Ameen. Juz 24, Surah Az-Zumar, Ayah number 32. فَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ كَذَبَ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَكَذَّبَ بِالصِّدْقِ إِذْ جَاءَهُ أَلَيْسَ فِي جَهَنَّمَ مَثْوًى لِلْكَافِرِينَ. So who is more unjust than one who lies about Allah and denies the truth when it has come to him? Is there not in hell a residence for the disbelievers? And the one who has brought the truth, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they who believed in it, those are the righteous. They will have whatever they desire with their Lord. That is a reward of the doers of good, that Allah may remove from them the worst of what they did and reward them their due for the best of what they used to do. But this is for the muttaqi, the one who is cautious of Allah. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on a certain day asked the companions, "Do you know who a pauper is, the faqir, the beggar?" The Sahaba said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as for us, a pauper, a poor one, is one who has neither cash nor things needed to run one's life." He said, "The real pauper in my ummah is a person who will come to the day of judgment with lots of good deeds, prayers, fasts, zakah, and things like that. But such would the record of his dealings with others be in his mortal life, that he would have hurled invectives on someone, insults on someone, leveled false accusation against someone, devoured someone's property by unfair means, had someone killed, beaten, or harassed. All those so oppressed will take their complaint before Allah, and the good deeds of the oppressor will be distributed over the oppressed. After that, when no good deeds are left, and the claims of the oppressed still remain to be settled, then the sins of the oppressed will be passed on to the oppressor, and he will be thrown into Jahannam." In order for us to prevent such an event on the Day of Judgment, we need to make amends in this dunya. On the Day of Judgment, we will not have any money, any property, anything else to give to anyone. There is no compensation that can be given. The only currency we will have are own good deeds. And on that day, we will need every single one of them, and more than that, by Allah's grace. Remember, Allah is just, and He will establish justice on that day. Allah says, "Alaysa Allahu bikafin 'abdahu?" Is not Allah sufficient for His servant Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And yet, they threaten you with those they worship other than Him. And whoever Allah leaves astray, for him there is no guide. And whoever Allah guides, for him there is no misleader. Is not Allah exalted in might and owner of retribution? We often worry about our children. We want to teach them religion. We want to teach them all the tenets. We want to watch out for their friends, where they go, who they stay with, who they spend time with. But subhanAllah, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can protect them. Allah says very clearly, "Whomever Allah guides, for him there is no misleader. Ask Allah for guidance." And we, each one of us, no matter where we are in our lives, we will continuously need guidance from Allah, even till our last breath. Allah then says, "And if you asked them, who created the heavens and the earth? They would surely say, Allah. Say, then have you considered what you invoke besides Allah? If Allah intended me harm, are they removers of His harm? Or if He intended me mercy, are they withholders of His mercy? Because these so-called idols, they did not create anything. Say, sufficient for me is Allah. Upon Him alone rely the wise reliers. Say, O my people, work according to your position, for indeed I am working. and you are going to know to whom will come a torment, disgracing him, and on whom will descend an enduring punishment. Indeed, we sent down to you the book for the people in truth. So whoever is guided, it is for the benefit of his soul. And whoever goes astray only goes astray to its detriment, and you are not a manager over them. The Prophet ﷺ was consoled to say, "You are not an authority over them. People have been given their choices. They need to decide." Allahu yutawaffal anfusa hina mautiha. Allah takes the souls at the time of their death, and those that do not die He takes during their sleep. Then He keeps those for which He has decreed death and releases the others for a specified term. Indeed, in that are signs for a people who give thought. When we sleep, our ruh is taken away, but not completely. Allah releases the ruh of the one who has more life to come back and reside in the body again. That is why, at the time of sleep, the Prophet, peace be upon him, taught us to make this dua. Bismika Allahumma amutu wa ahya. With your name, O Allah, I die and I am resurrected. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "When any one of you goes to bed, let him brush down the bed with his garment, for he does not know what has come on his bed since he left it. Then let him say, 'In your name, O Lord, I lay down my side, and in your name I raise it up. If you take my soul, have mercy on it, and if you send it back, protect it with that which you protect your righteous servants.'"
أَمِتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ شُفَعَا.
Allah says, "Or have they taken other than Allah as intercessors? Allah has complete control of our ruh. So how is it possible to take an intercessor?" Allah says, "Say, even though they do not possess power over anything, nor do they reason, say to Allah belongs the right to allow intercession entirely. To Him belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth. Then to Him you will be returned." Remember, there is no intercession except with Allah. مَنْ ذَلَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِي. We have learned in Ayatul Kursi. Who is he that can intercede with him except by his permission? Allah says, "And when Allah is mentioned alone, وَحْدَهُ, meaning alone as one worthy to be worshipped, the hearts of those who do not believe in the hereafter shrink with aversion. But when those worshipped other than him are mentioned, immediately they rejoice." Some are more attracted to the idea of calling upon other than Allah. Ya Muhammad, help, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Ali, help, subhanallah. Ya Pir Abdul Qadir Jilani, help. Wa ma qadrullah haqqa qadri. And they have not appreciated Allah as He ought to be appreciated. Ayah after ayah after ayah tells us, there are no intercessors with Allah. He does not need intercession from anybody. Allah can hear us directly. This was the religion of intercession that the Prophet, peace be upon him, came to finish, to wipe out. Intercession from anyone will only occur in the hereafter. And also it will occur by the permission of Allah for whomever He wills and to whomever He allows. On that day we will see that people will be allowed to ask others to intercede on their behalf. They will ask the Quran, they will ask for the Quran to intercede on their behalf. They will ask the prophets to intercede on their behalf. They will ask the pious predecessors to intercede on their behalf. All of the human beings will go to each of the prophets to ask them to request Allah to begin the Day of Judgment. If we negate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs someone else's intercession in order to hear me, that means He is not as merciful as He says in the Quran. That means that when He says, "I am closer to you than your jugular vein," is not really accurate. And how is that possible? Na'udhu billah. Allah here states that if they really believed in the hereafter, they would love this concept, this true fact that only Allah is worthy of worship and only He should be directed dua to. People manage their belief systems in different ways. Allah says then, "Say, O Allah, creator of the heavens and the earth, knower of the unseen and the witnessed, you will judge between your servants concerning that over which they used to differ."
We can tell people, we can explain to people, and we can bring evidences, clear evidences. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already said that you cannot change other people's minds, only Allah guides. Sayyid ibn Jubair radiallahu anhu said that he knows a verse of the Quran, after reciting which the prayer one makes is answered, and he pointed out to this very verse, Allahumma fatir as-samawati wal-ardi, alim al-ghaybi wa-shahadati, anta tahkumu bayna ibadika fima kanu fihi yakhtalifun. When the Prophet ﷺ used to rise for tahajjud, he would say this prayer, Allahumma rabba Jibra'ila wa Mika'ila wa Israfila, fatir as-samawati wal-ardi, عالم الغيب والشهادة أنت تحكم بين عبادك فيما كانوا فيه يختلفون اهدني لما اختلف فيه من الحق بإذنك إنك تهدي من تشاء إلى صراط مستقيم. O Allah, Lord of Jibreel and Mikael and Israfil, Creator of the heavens and the earth, Knower of the unseen and the seen, You will judge between your servants in that about which they used to differ. Guide me with your will to the truth in which people have disputes, for you are the one who guides whomever you will to the straight path. And if those who did wrong had all that is in the earth entirely, and the like of it with it, they would attempt to ransom themselves thereby from the worst of punishment on the day of resurrection, and there will appear to them from Allah that which they had not taken into account, meaning His anger and punishment. And there will appear to them the evils they had earned, and they will be enveloped by what they used to ridicule. And when adversity touches man, he calls upon us. Then when we bestow on him a favor from us, he says, I have only been given it because of my knowledge. Rather, it is a trial, but most of them do not know. Allah tells us about Qarun in the Quran. He also thought that whatever he had was because of his skills and because of his knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took it all away. Adversities are a trial. Difficulties are a trial. Not just the difficulty, but also the relief in and of itself is a trial. Allah wants to see how we manage it. How do we react when we are relieved from the distress? Because remember, only Allah relieves from the distress. Finally, when it happens and a person sees success, they think, oh, it is because, you know, I tried this tact, I tried these resources, I talked to this person, I invested here. This is why I am successful now and the problems have been resolved. Subhanallah, person forgets to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The very first thing we need to do when adversity leaves and relief comes is say, Alhamdulillah. Fall down in sajda and say, Alhamdulillah. Because those resources and those abilities were also given by Allah. This theme comes up multiple times in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it repeatedly because we often miss this crucial link in our behavior. The minute our du'as are answered, we are so happy. We exult that we forget to thank Allah. Sometimes we will thank Him, but a little bit later, after having recited a list of all the things that you and I did to improve the situation. May Allah forgive us, Ameen. This is not gratitude. Gratitude and true monotheism, Tawheed, is to always turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over and over again, whether in good situations or in bad situations. Remember Surah Al-Kahf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say, Insha'Allah, if he simply wanted to do something the next day. Jibreel alayhi salam did not arrive with the wahi for 15 days because the Prophet, peace be upon him, forgot to say Insha'Allah. Who are we? We are nobody. We often rely upon our intelligence and we think we are smart. We know how to work things. We have contacts with people, and that our unique skills, unique set of skills, get us where we are today or where we want to go. And sometimes we teach that to our children as well. Allah negates that. Allah says, yes, use your resources. They are there because Allah has provided them for us. However, remember that all good stems from Allah. All relief stems from Allah. So, If adversity, difficulty is a test, so is the relief from it. Allah says those before them had already said it, but they were not availed by what they used to earn. People who used to say, I have only been given it because of my knowledge. Subhanallah, and the evil consequences of what they earned struck them. And those who have wronged of these people will be struck, will be afflicted by the evil consequences of what they earned, and they will not cause failure. Meaning what? That they will not prevent Allah from what He wills, and they will not escape from His punishment. May Allah be kind and merciful to us. Ameen. أَوَلَمْ يَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ. Do they not know that Allah extends provision for whom He wills and restricts it? Indeed, in that are signs for a people who believe. We feel that our children, for example, need to go in a certain field. And culturally, for many cultures in Muslim areas, it is important to choose a certain profession. And people feel that this is the best way to earn money. This is the highest paying field. This is the most secure job. And that may be true. But then we restrict ourselves, we restrict our children to only go in a certain direction. We fear that they might not earn enough. We hoard money in our bank accounts, in our jewelry cases, so that when we die, we can give it to our children. We fear that they will not have enough afterwards. We want to make investments for them. Instead of opening up our hearts and our pocketbooks for charity, for sadaqah, for the sake of Allah, we hoard money. We give very little in charity, and we hoard money for our future. Allah says, do they not know that Allah is the one who extends provision and He restricts it? A person comes into this dunya with the amount of money he or she is going to earn written for him or her. We come with that. And then Allah says, how should you increase your risk? By establishing kinship. Then in that manner, be kind to your relatives. We give sadaqah and charity. Be generous in that. This is how you are going to increase your own risk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to shower you with blessings more and more so that you can continue to give that charity. Allah says in the Quran, your wealth is a fitna, a trial for you. May Allah help us to pass that trial. Ameen. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنُطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Say, O my servants who have transgressed against themselves by sinning, do not despair of the mercy of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Indeed, it is He who is the forgiving, the merciful. وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ. And return in repentance to your Lord and submit to Him before the punishment comes upon you. Then you will not be helped. In Sahih Bukhari, it is recorded that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said that some people of polytheism of shirk killed many people and committed zina to a great extent. They came to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, what you are saying, meaning about Islam and calling us to, is good. If only you could tell us that there is an expiation for what we have done. Remember, they have taqwa. Allah says, Quran aids and helps those people who have taqwa. They repented. They changed their minds about their lifestyle. They wanted to make a change. They were attracted to the message of Islam. So two ayahs were revealed. One is in Surah Al-Furqan. And those who invoke not any other god along with Allah, nor kill such a person as has Allah forbidden, except for a just cause, nor committed zina. And then the next ayah, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ, from Surah Zumar right here. Say, O my servants who have transgressed against themselves, do not despair of the mercy of Allah. The two Sahihs record the hadith of Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu, the very well-known story from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the man who killed 99 people. Later on, he regretted it and asked a worshipper among the children of Israel whether he could repent. He told him no, so he killed him too, thus completing 100. Then he asked one of their scholars whether he could repent. He said, "What is stopping you from repenting?" Then he told him to go to a town where Allah was worshipped. He set out for that town, but death came to him while he was on the road. The angels of mercy and the angels of punishment disputed over him, so Allah commanded them to measure the distance between the two towns. Whichever he was closer to was the one to which he belonged. They found that he was closer to the town he was heading for, so the angels of mercy took him. It was said that when he was dying, he moved himself toward that town, and Allah commanded the good town to move closer to him, and the other town to move away. This story is summarized from the hadith. Allah also tells us in Surah Al-Ma'idah, he asks us a question. Will they not turn in repentance to Allah and ask his forgiveness? For Allah is oft forgiving and most merciful. Ibn Abbas said, "Anyone who makes the servants of Allah despair of his mercy after this ayah has rejected the book of Allah. But remember, a person cannot repent until Allah decrees that he should repent." Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, "If you have been given the opportunity to make a dua, then know that the acceptance has come with it." Alhamdulillah. So much in our deen, so much in our teachings encourages us never to despair from the mercy of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam swore by Allah. He says, "Wallazi nafsi biyadihi," by the one in whose hand is my soul, if you were to commit sin until your sins filled the space between heaven and earth, then you were to ask Allah for forgiveness, he would forgive you. By the one in whose hand is the soul of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you did not commit sin, Allah would bring other people who would commit sins and then ask Allah for forgiveness so that he could forgive them. How merciful is Allah? In Sahih Muslim, it is narrated from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "Allah has 100 parts of mercy, of which he sent down one between the jinn, mankind, the animals, and the insects, by means of which they are compassionate and merciful to one another, and by means of which wild animals are kind to their offspring. And Allah has kept 99 parts of his mercy with which to be merciful to his slaves on the day of resurrection." Ar-Rahim. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said, "Some prisoners were brought to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there was a woman among the prisoners who was searching for her child. When she found her child, she embraced him and started nursing him. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, 'Do you think that this woman would throw her child in the fire?' We said, 'No, by Allah, not if she is able not to.' The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, 'Allah is more merciful to his slaves than this woman to her child.'" Muttafiqun alayh. Alhamdulillah. Reported as a hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "O son of Adam, as long as you call upon me and put your hope in me, I have forgiven you for what you have done, and I do not mind. O son of Adam, if your sins were to reach the clouds of the sky, and when you would seek my forgiveness, I would forgive you. O son of Adam, if you were to come to me with sins that are close to filling the earth, and then you would meet me without ascribing any partners with me, I would certainly bring to you forgiveness close to filling it." Alhamdulillah. So why would we not repent? Allah loves to forgive. The Prophet, peace be upon him, told us, reported in Sahih Muslim, "Surely Allah is more pleased with the repentance of his slave than a person who has lost his camel in a waterless desert, carrying his provision of food and drink, and it is lost. He, having lost all hopes to get that back, lies down in shade and is disappointed about his camel. When all of a sudden he finds that camel standing before him, he takes hold of its reins and then, out of boundless joy, blurts out, 'O Allah, you are my slave and I am your Rabb.'" Subhanallah. He commits this mistake out of extreme joy. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There is nothing like Allah. There is nothing like him. And he is the hearing, the seeing. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah we have read, "Inna Allaha yuhibbu at-tawwabina ويحب المتطهرين. Allah loves those who repent and loves those who purify themselves. Did we ever imagine, did we ever think that Allah would be so kind and so merciful? He descends every night to inquire about us in the last one third of the night. To inquire, do you want anything? I will give it to you right now. Allah already knows. He does not have to descend down. But He comes especially close. He wants us to know that He is very close, especially close to us at that moment. وَمَا قَدْرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِ They have not appraised Allah as He ought to be appraised. So, what are the tenets, the principles of a true repentance, true tawbah? The first is sincerity to Allah the Most High. When a person truly seeks a reward of Allah and truly wants salvation from his punishment, then this person is sincere to Allah. May Allah make us of those. Ameen. The second principle is remorse. Remorse for the sin that was committed. So he admits that he did it and he wishes he had never done it. The third condition, to cease to commit the sin immediately. If the sin was against Allah, then he should stop doing it if it was an unlawful act, or hasten to do it if it was an obligation that the person had abandoned. If the sin was against another human being, then he should hasten to free himself from it. Ask for forgiveness from that person, ask for pardon, and return back whatever he owes them. Stop oppressing. The fourth principle, the fourth condition, determination. Determination not to go back to that sin again in the future. The fifth thing is, repentance should be done in the lifetime. There are two conditions for it. One is that it should be done before death, not at the time when the breath is coming out of the body, the last gurgle of death. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, repentance is of no effect for those who commit sins constantly until when death faces one of them, he says, verily, I repent now. The Prophet ﷺ also said, whoever repents before the sun rises from its west, Allah will accept his repentance, reported by Muslim. Abdullah bin Marzuq, who was a close friend of the ruler Al-Mahdi, was drunk one day and consequently missed the congregational prayer. His servant came to him with a piece of burning wood and placed it on his leg. He jumped up with an expression of pain on his face. She said, if you cannot withstand the fire of the earth, then how will you withstand the fire of the hereafter? Having understood the point of the painful lesson, Abdullah bin Marzuq repented. Thereafter he performed his prayers on time and gave away a great deal in charity. After some time passed, Al-Fudail bin Iyad and Ibn Uyayna visited him, and just by looking at him and the furniture of his home, they noticed a drastic change in his lifestyle. They asked, no one forsakes something for Allah, except that Allah compensates him with something equal or better. So what did Allah compensate you with for what you abandoned? He said, contentment for the situation I find myself to be in. Alhamdulillah. Once, when Maimun bin Mihran and Umar bin Abdul Aziz were visiting the graveyard, Umar began to cry. Turning to Maimun, he said, O Abu Ayyub, these are the graves of my fathers from Banu Umayyah. When I see their graves now, it seems as if they never participated with the dwellers of the world in their pleasures and lives. Do you not see how they are beset by trials? The insects are feeding off of their bodies. Umar then began to weep until he fainted. When he regained consciousness, he said, let us go, for by Allah I do not know of anyone who is more blessed than he who comes to these graves, yet is saved from the punishment of Allah. Allahumma ja'alna minhum ameen ya rabbal alameen. May Allah make us of those who truly repent, and may He choose us to be of those He purifies. Ameen. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O my servants who have transgressed against themselves by sinning, do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. Indeed, it is He who is the forgiving, the merciful. And return in repentance to your Lord and submit to Him before punishment comes upon you. Then you will not be helped. and follow the best of what was revealed to you from your Lord, meaning the Quran, before the punishment comes upon you suddenly, while you do not perceive, lest the soul should say, "Oh, how great is my regret over what I neglected in regard to Allah, and that I was among the mockers." Follow the Quran before it is too late, Allah says. Or lest it say, "If only Allah had guided me, I would have been among the righteous, but Allah has guided us." Or lest it say, when it sees a punishment, "If only I had another turn, so I could be among the doers of good." فَأَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. But Allah is giving us time. Allah says, "But yes, there had come to you my verses, but you denied them, and were arrogant, and you were among the disbelievers. And on the day of resurrection, you will see those who lied about Allah with their faces blackened. Is there not in hell a residence for the arrogant? And Allah will save those who feared Him by their attainment." What is that attainment? Their success in the trials of worldly life. Attainment of Jannah. وَيُنَجِّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. People who have taqwa, who are careful. بِمَفَازَاتِهِمْ. Allah will save them with their success. No evil will touch them, nor will they grieve. May Allah make us of those. Ameen. Allah is the creator of all things, and He is over all things, disposer of affairs. To Him belong the keys of the heavens and the earth. And they who disbelieve in the verses of Allah, it is they who are the losers. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is it other than Allah that you order me to worship, O ignorant ones? Ayyuhal jahilun? And it was already revealed to you and to those before you that if you should associate anything with Allah, your work would surely become worthless, and you would surely be among the losers. Rather, worship only Allah and be among the grateful. True gratitude is to worship Allah alone. وَمَا قَدْرَ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. Allah says it again. وَمَا قَدْرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبْضَتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. They have not appraised Allah with true appraisal. They have truly not appreciated Allah with His attributes, while the earth entirely will be within His grip on the day of resurrection, and the heavens will be folded in His right hand. Exalted is He and high above what they associate with Him. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, Allah will grasp the earth and roll up the heavens in His right hand. Then He will say, "I am the King. Where are the kings of the earth?" He is also reported to have said, on the day of resurrection, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grasp the earth with one finger and the heavens will be in His right hand. Then He will say, "I am the King." Once the Prophet, peace be upon him, recited this ayah, وَمَا قَدْرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبْضَتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. He recited that on the minbar, and then he said, and the Lord will glorify Himself, saying, "I am the compeller, I am the proud. Anal Jabbar, Anal Mutakabbir, Anal Malik, I am the King. Anal Aziz, I am the Mighty. Anal Kareem, I am the Most Generous." And the member shook so much that we feared that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would fall. Recorded in Muslim. Why do we not tremble when we hear these ayat? Why do our hearts not shake? Why do tears not roll down our faces? Why do we not fall down on the ground in sajda? وَمَا قَدْرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِي وَمَا قَدْرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِي وَنُفِقَ فِي السُّورِ. Allah says, and the horn will be blown, and whoever is in the heavens and earth will fall dead, except whom Allah wills. Then it will be blown again, and at once they will be standing, looking on. And the earth will shine with the light of its Lord, and the record of deeds will be placed, and the prophets and the witnesses will be brought, and it will be judged between them in truth, and they will not be wronged. The Muslim Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be brought as witnesses that day. We will be asked to testify that day that the other prophets relayed the messages that they were sent with. We will be asked, how did we know? We were told in the Quran, we will say. The Quran is not just a confirmation of the previous messages. The Quran is a confirmation of the previous prophets. This is the status of the Quran. Allah says, and every soul will be fully compensated for what it did, and He is most knowing of what they do. And those who disbelieved will be driven to hell in groups. وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ زُمَرًا. Zumara, groups making a sound, the shuffling, the moaning of people. And those who disbelieved will be driven to hell in groups until when they reach it. Its gates are opened and its keepers will say, did there not come to you messengers from yourselves, reciting to you the verses of your Lord and warning you of the meeting of this day of yours? They will say, yes, but the word meaning decree of punishment has come into effect upon the disbelievers. To them it will be said, enter the gates of hell to abide eternally therein, and wretched is the residence of the arrogant. وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا. But those who feared their Lord will be driven to paradise in groups. When they reached it, while its gates have been opened and its keepers say, سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ طِبْتُمْ. Peace be upon you, you have become pure. So enter it to abide eternally therein. And they will enter, and they will say, Alhamdulillahi alladhi sadaqana wa'adahu. Praise to Allah who has fulfilled for us His promise and made us inherit the earth, so we may settle in paradise wherever we will. And excellent is the reward of the righteous workers. And you will see the angels surrounding the throne exalting Allah with praise of their Lord. And it will be judged between them in truth. And it will be said, all praise to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I will be the first to knock at the gates of paradise. He said, I will come to the gate of Jannah on the day of resurrection and will ask for it to be opened. The gatekeeper will say, who are you? I will say, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He will say, I was told about you and that I was not to open the gate before any one of you. Recorded in Sahih Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also told us that there are 8 gates of paradise. The Prophet, peace be upon him, also told us every gate is as wide as a journey of 40 years, but will still be full, alhamdulillah. Ar-Rayyan is the name of the gate through which people who fast constantly will enter. A good dutiful wife can enter from any gate of Jannah, alhamdulillah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the first group to enter paradise will look like the moon on the night when it is full. They will be followed by a group which looks like the brightest star shining in the sky. They will not urinate or defecate or spit or blow their noses. Their combs will be of gold, their sweat will be musk, and their censers will be of aloes wood. Their wives will be al-hurul ayn, and they will all look the same as if they are one person in the image of their father Adam, 60 cubits tall. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, a group of my ummah, 70,000, will enter Jannah with their faces shining like the moon on the night when it is full. Allahumma ja'alna minhum ameen ya rabbal alameen. He, peace be upon him, also said, whoever spends a pair of something from his wealth for the sake of Allah will be called from the gates of Jannah. Jannah has several gates. Whoever is among the people of Salah will be called from the gate of Salah. Whoever is among the people of charity will be called from the gate of charity. Whoever is among the people of jihad will be called from the gate of jihad. Whoever is among the people of fasting will be called from the gate of Ar-Rayyan. Upon hearing this, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it does not matter from which gate one is called, but will anyone be called from all of them? He said, yes, and I hope that you will be one of them. Something similar is also reported in Bukhari and Muslim, alhamdulillah. In Sahih Muslim it is recorded, there is no one among you who performs wudu and does it well or amply. Then he says, I testify that there is none worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a servant and messenger, but the 8 gates of paradise will be opened for him, and he will enter through whichever one he pleases. Muttafiqun alayhi hadith. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, Allah will say, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, admit those of your ummah who are not to be brought to account through the right-hand gate, and they will be counted among those who will enter from other gates as well. The people of Jannah will be welcomed and honored and given the best of hospitality, Allah's hospitality. Allahumma ja'alna minhum ya rabbal alameen. Ameen.